This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, let's rate the studio audience so far. Okay. Pretty good. You know what's shocking? That we got 15,000 people in here today. That's what it sounds like. I haven't even turned around to look at the crowd. It feels like around 15, 16,000 people here. It's not that it's cold, it's just cold for Las Vegas, right? That's what it feels like. And I told the Danettes, do not complain. Nobody wants to hear you complaining about how cold it is. You're at the Super Bowl, you're staying at a great hotel.
It's bitter cold, though.
Shut up. Today's Mercedes-Benz interview of the day is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz EV. Owning a Mercedes-Benz EV isn't just extraordinary, it's extra easy. The feeling all Mercedes, the choice all yours. Learn more, mbusa.com/EQ. He's a five-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle and part of the Super Bowl winning team, fourth overall pick by the Eagles back in 2013. And he's a finalist for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year. Let's say hello to Lane Johnson of the Eagles here. You know, sometimes you see somebody and you go, I wonder what that guy does for a living. I don't wonder about that when I look at you.
You don't second guess. Now,
were you ever a bouncer?
I never was, thank God.
Okay. But could you take all of us?
Depends on what day. Maybe on a good Sunday.
Like right
Sunday.
Now, if we all stood up.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could try.
Could you?
It's a hypothetical.
Well, let's go. Yeah. Yeah, you're leaving that inside open. You got to get lower.
Okay, once again, it's called the get off.
Yeah.
Right? Explain to the audience what the get off is. We're fascinated by this more than anything.
So the get off, you have the quarterback who's about 8 yards, and the defensive end and the tackle are getting off the ball to see who can, I'm trying to prevent him from sacking the quarterback. So to the audience, it's like a 100-meter dash. The sprinter has to master the first, 10, 20 yards. So for me, getting that timing down allows me to get in a good position to block the end. So a lot of times the DN likes when the tackle turns his shoulders to the sideline. That may seem more susceptible to getting beat inside.
Okay, so do you look at the ball, or are you listening for what Jalen Hurts says?
So for at home, and we have a cadence, listen to the cadence. And if we're on the road, we usually have a signal by the center or by the guard that allows me the time. So usually it's a tap of the center. I know a certain time.
How many illegal motion penalties have you had?
So it's crazy. I feel like I had a lot more earlier in my career. And then, like, now the attention's on me, I've had, a lot less. Like, going into the season, I just remember seeing articles, just me, false starting. I said, it's going to be an interesting year, but didn't have, I don't know if I had one. Maybe one.
But I'm watching, and it certainly seems like you're getting off before anybody else does.
Yeah, I think.
Cheating?
Yeah, Lane? So no, there's certainly times where I'm early and I should get called, but when you look at how it's broke down, so as soon as Kelsey flicks his wrist, that's technically what I'm going on. So a lot of times in these steal shots, it shows me with my leg up, and Kelsey's already cocked to snap the ball. It's just not showing it in the picture frame.
Okay.
But, yeah, I've been called early, and, you know, I've got my fair share of penalties.
Okay, but have you changed offensive tackles?
No, so what's funny is when I came in, I was always late. So my college film, my coach always said, you're late off the ball, you're late off the ball, what's going on? And then I played next to Jason Peters, and so I felt like he was just passing it down to me, and he got it from Walter Jones. You know, Trent Williams is great at it. So a lot of tackles that are really good in this league, that's part of the game.
How did you guys react when Jason Kelce was named one of the sexiest men of the year?
I think we knew it a lot earlier on when we did the ESPN shoot. The body issue. So now I think just the audience is starting to see what we've known all along.
So you thought he was sexy, is what you're saying?
He had his moments.
That's weird.
He had his moments.
That's awkward, but okay. Is he coming back? Are you planning on him coming back?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would like for him to come back, you know, as a player. But you know, I feel like he would be a great coach as well. But you know, also he has a lot of stuff going for him off the field. So. You know, he has his options, but, yeah, I would love to see him back.
Okay. Does your family ask you to ask him questions about Taylor Swift?
Sometimes, but
do you
sometimes I just avoid it. Yeah, I just...
Have you asked a question about Taylor Swift?
No, not really, because, I mean, I've sat by him for the last 10 years, like, in meetings, so it's like I already know.
No concert tickets? You don't ask for a hookup?
Not yet. It's just, you know, it's the wrong time of the year. You know, we're still playing. You know, we just now had some recent time off, so maybe this summer or spring we're looking for some T-Swift tickets.
How tough is it to watch the Super Bowl?
It's tough, but, you know, when you look at, you know, how we handled the second half of the season, you know, obviously what we... wasn't what we expected, but, you know, I feel like looking back, you know, you got to cherish the moment. You know, it is a big moment getting to the playoffs, and so next time around, you know, hopefully it's a lot different.
Okay, explain to me what happened the last, whatever, 6-8 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like as film piles up, and I feel like really after the 49ers game where, you know, it's kind of them dismantling us, I felt like teams kind of piggybacked off that, so I don't know if it was something we were doing with our scheme-wise, maybe the teams were on to what we were running, but it was a lot more difficult than what it needed to be because you've seen what the offense has been, and then you see that stretch, and it's, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, because you go to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
Could have easily won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the expectation, I mean, here are the Chiefs, they're back, and then you guys aren't even a playoff team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the great thing about the NFL. I mean, teams, you know, you think – should be beatable, aren't. I mean, and it's just like you look at the second half of our season. You know, games we should have won, close games, we end up losing the last 6 or 7. So it is what it is. But, you know, when we reflect, a lot of changes are going on in Philly right now. So, you know, I'm excited about that. And I feel, you know, with the nucleus that we do have, I feel like we have a good chance of getting back to where we need to be.
Where are all the great offensive linemen coming from? It feels like there's a drought in college. Because of how you play in college is not how you play in the pros.
Man, you know, that's tough. You know, I like to say Texas is usually pretty good.
Oh, that's tough for you to say that Texas is good. Tough. Coming from Oklahoma.
I think of Trent. I think of Jason Peters. But, you know, you look at the South, the Midwest, like that's generally a good answer. But, you know, when you're looking at tackles, I mean, I feel like the speed of the game has changed so much. So you're seeing the best athlete on the edge, the Myles Garretts of the world.
What's that like?
Oh, man, it's like you're in an enclosure with a jaguar. And
a big jaguar.
A jaguar, and, yeah, the quarterback's the meat pile, and you got to all right, just keep him away.
Yeah. Have you ever apologized to Jason after he got sacked?
No, not really. I mean, it's, you know, usually it doesn't happen very much, but, yeah, usually I think it a good one happened early in training camp. I was like, hey, it's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen too much more. So.
Oh, okay. Because I always wonder when your guy sacks the quarterback and then you go over to help him up and then he's looking up at you and you're the reason why I'm down here because you let your man beat
me. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, it's like, it's like Keanu Reeves and the Replacements. What are you doing? Come on, help me out.
But also, you have to decide, do I get called for holding or do I allow a sack?
Yeah, I think the holding definitely, yeah. I'd say hold any time.
Can I call holding on every play?
You could.
Okay.
Yeah, but once the defender gets outside the framework of the tackle and outside that and your arms get extended, and that's usually when they call it.
Yeah, I was wondering about that when we were thinking about if we came up with mittens.
Well, they used to block like this back in the day. Maybe, yeah. Maybe we should just go back to that.
Well, no, but if I gave you mittens, then it's, you know, no fingers, but mittens.
Like oven mitts?
Yes, and the defensive player has to have oven mitts as well.
I think we should go to Nike and get a glove designed.
Okay, here we go. All right.
Yeah, wheels turning.
We're going to make millions of dollars, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Who's the guy that you can, you look in, across the line and you go, uh-oh?
You know, anytime I had to block Vaughn, you know, Micah's one of those guys, Max Crosby, you know, really any of those guys. I don't know if you've seen Danielle Hunter walk around the field, but you're going, oh, hey, what planet is this guy from? So I'm like, whoa, I need some more baby oil in my arms next time I come out.
Okay.
So, yeah, you see some guys like that, Khalil Mack, the same way, you're going, whoa, where are they coming from?
Do you put baby oil on your arms?
I used to, but now it's just, no, not really.
Okay. But is that an illegal substance?
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like in the cold, I don't know.
Is it gamesmanship?
Yeah. When it's warm, yeah, definitely. You know, you have the sweat going with it. It's definitely hard to grab. But guys like to do it. It's like wrestlers before they come out. You know, they're trying to look yoked up. You know, yeah, they're trying to flex up.
One of 32 nominees for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year, presented by Nationwide. So Nationwide's done a wonderful job donating more than $2.3 million to community and philanthropic causes. Your reaction when you found out you were nominated?
Yeah, so I was genuinely surprised. So, you know, obviously they got the video in the room, but, you know, when I'm in the room, it's mostly Stout talking, and he's very high detailed, and, you know, you can't miss something because he'll pop quiz, and then he just starts going on into this, and I'm like taken back, and then Kels gets up, and usually when Kels speaks, you know, he gets emotional. I mean, it's just, you know, any pregame speech, I mean, he pours his heart into it, and so, you know, I knew how much it meant to the guys around me. I knew how much it meant to Chris Long when he was here with the Eagles, and, you know, Nationwide has been sponsoring this for the past 10 years, and, you know, I just think the nominees and the people that have been a part of this are phenomenal and do a lot of good, you know, commit to changing their communities and, you know, really helping out.
But you also did a wonderful thing where you talked about mental health.
Yeah.
And, you know, big, tough guys and football players, and you guys, you know, don't talk about these things. But where did the courage to come forward come from?
Yeah, so I was dealing with a terrible ankle injury. I was contemplating retirement, and so I was, you know, trying to play through that, and, you know, had a lot of different emotions going through my head, and so I took those three games, and whenever I came back, instead of making up some story, you know, I felt like to genuinely express what I was going through, you know, would do more help than harm, and so, you know, through that, I've committed to Cuth, which helps high school kids for mental health causes. And just really, I feel like the dialogue in my generation has been a lot greater than maybe when I came into the league. And so I've seen a lot of guys get help, you know, even guys after games I'm talking to, or they mess me on Instagram. And so, you know, there's a lot of guys that are playing at a very high level that are dealing with lots of stuff. But, you know, I think just the communication and guys being transparent has been incredible.
Yeah, I think people don't realize, or players don't realize, or, you know, people in general don't realize there's other people, how many people are suffering from this, and they're looking for somebody to be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
So then they can talk about it. Then that leads to other people. Max Crosby came on the show a couple of years ago. He talked about, you know, alcoholism. And we had a woman who was in the audience a couple of days ago, and she said, you know, he changed my life, probably saved my life, because she stopped drinking listening to Max Crosby talk about that. So you have a platform, use the platform. It's a powerful voice, and, you know, it resonates with somebody somewhere at some point in their life.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the main thing is to bring education to everything so people know what the symptoms are, know what the feelings are, and really become educated on what it is and how to handle it. But, yeah, when you get stories of athletes like mine was Tyson Fury or Michael Phelps, when you hear stories like that and the caliber of athletes – who's, you know, sometimes athletes think they can achieve their way out of things.
That's
kind of the, you know.
Depression's undefeated. Yeah. I mean, it'll get you and hold on to you there.
Yeah,
you
know? But it's something you constantly have to be in the present, and you have to focus on being in the present. You know, we're in a distracted world, and so you have to train it.
And you're trying to cheat when you're playing because you're putting baby oil on. And
baby
then,
oil yeah, and jumping off the ball.
Jumping
so,
offside.
A lot of stuff going on.
Okay. Now, the get off, I want you to judge my guys. So they're going to get up here. And if you're watching on Peacock, you'll be able to see it. So this is Paulie, who is he's fascinated by the get off.
The call, like Jalen Hurts' call.
Oh, so you're going to do the set hut hut?
How's my setup?
Yeah, so you want to get lower, so you want to thank your elbows on your knees.
Yeah, I don't think physically you can.
Bend over more. You know, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And then next thing, you're thinking of kicking your right foot like you're kicking through a wall.
Like that.
Yeah, shuffle a little bit, but think of a big kick and then shuffle.
Okay. All right, I'm ready.
Ready?
Down. Set hut.
I want one more.
Kind of like a crab going across the beach.
Micah's not getting by.
The coaches
that.
Like the quick feet.
All right,
Micah Parsons wants
not
nothing to do
it.
With
I
you.
I want one more. I'm going to do his get off. Ready?
Okay, here we go.
Down, sit up. There you go.
A little early.
Yeah. Flag on you.
Fritzy, do you want to give this a shot? Now, he suffered a devastating injury yesterday. That he has a slight.
So whatever you can do. So my kick, I think of that first. You know, I'm getting that right leg about back behind me, like I'm kicking through a wall. Set hut. Here we go.
Oh, too late.
Down.
It's not on two.
I'm gonna say down. Set hut.
Whoa.
I'm gonna say down then. Set hut. Down. Set hut.
Whoa. You don't want to mess with that, do you?
So that's kind of old school.
Okay, here we go. All right, here we go.
I'm trying to show him is I'm kicking like this.
Oh, okay.
Old school guy, so Willie Anderson showed me this. This foot back first. And he says your center of gravity is better than...
How about Paulie? Right, Paulie, I need you to be the edge rush. Stay up your lane.
Okay.
Paulie's going to rush you.
Oh,
and do whatever you need to do. If you need to smack him, then you smack him. Okay? Here we go.
You want some of this?
Paulie
you,
is...
I'm not sure where he's going. You got a lot of inside
space. That's my goal. That's my...
Miles Garrett. Sid! Wait! I think you're holding, Lane. I think you were holding.
So I feel pretty good. That's the pressure, I think.
That is.
Yeah. That
so
was.
That, so bad
Jesus
hands.
Christ.
So your hands are right here, so I'm right here, and I'm trying to replace.
Do you want another shot?
I didn't get there in time.
Oh, you want another shot with him?
No, I'm kind of.
You can go.
Okay. Redemption.
Okay. Down, set, hit it!
Oh!
Man, you almost got the quarterback, Paulie.
That's a jump set.
Yeah.
That went into my chest.
Yeah, I know. I like it. I like it.
He's pretty wiry. Hey, don't let me fool you. I got to feel his hands.
Not many edge rushers weigh 175 pounds, so you did a great job. Congrats again on being nominated, one of the 32 nominees for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year. He's Lane Johnson, everybody. Thank you, Lane.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. We'll take a break. We're back after this with our Play of the Day, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week we will have on leaders from sports entertainment like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Coming up, Fritzy has more bad, more dad jokes.
Come on. Way to sell it.
Las Vegas dad jokes? Is that what we're doing here?
That's what they are. They're like bad Las Vegas dad jokes.
Okay. So we'll do those after Dan Orlovsky comes by.
Yeah, because I'm going to leave if I start reading.
Well, I don't want to do it when Montana and Dion are here, because that wouldn't go over well.
It would.
Okay?
We'll go with your lead on that.
At the end of the hour, you'll do your dad jokes.
Fair enough.
Like, once again, would you give us just a sampling of what the audience can expect with the bad, the dad jokes, Las Vegas?
Okay, I gave you two, and I guess I'm 0 for 2. So
you are 0 for 2. The audience is going to let you know right away, Todd.
Okay, what does an emperor do in a Vegas restroom?
Okay.
Royal flush. Okay, royal flush. Come on, a little bit?
Courtesy flush, courtesy laugh is what that was.
What's going on with these guys?
They're not with you today.
They don't like that joke, they don't like my
joke. I told you, this is the mean-spirited, this is one of the toughest audiences we've had, Todd.
What do the French like to say at the casinos? One more quickly. What do the French like to say at the casinos? Parlez-vous français? Parlez. Look at this.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that a thing when you have to get like 5 in a row things? Wow.
They're not saying bloop, they're saying boo. Yes, Seton.
Turns out it's not just us. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How could such a large group have no sense of humor? So strange to me.
See, people always say that I pick on you. And what just happened?
Yeah,
this audience of 16,000 people turned on you.
They're like, Dan doesn't like it, so I guess none of us are supposed to like it. He makes fun of him. We all should make fun of him. I know how this works. Don't you think a little bit? They kind of follow your lead. You're Dan Patrick. If he thinks it's funny, we'll laugh. If he thinks it's
okay,
stupid,
try it again. I'll give you an honest answer here, honest response, and we'll get to Dan Orlovsky.
What's a menage a trois you don't want to participate in?
How are these dad jokes?
It's my dad jokes. What's a menage a trois you don't want to participate in? Three-way craps. That's a thing. I looked it up. I look at gambling terms, casino terms. You don't want to be involved in three-way craps.
Say hello to Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, part of NFL Live, and, of course, former quarterback. NFL Live is in Vegas. It's Dan, Marcus Spears, it's Ryan Clark, Mita Kimes, Laura Rutledge, and they'll be in action at 4 Eastern on ESPN.
Orlovsky.
Yeah, Dan, what the hell am I doing?
Dan is calling the Super Bowl along with Lewis Riddick and Chris Fowler for ESPN's audience in Australia and New Zealand. Say hello to Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership here. Yeah, you got to follow that, Dan. Good luck. Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah.
You just gave me a look.
Yeah.
It's not pleasing.
I don't know what's better, that I get to follow those dad jokes, or I'm thankful that you didn't put me after Deion Sanders and Joe Montana. Hey, it's Deion, Joe Montana, and Orlovsky. All right.
But you've had to fight for credibility, right? When you don't have name recognition, that's some of these other guys. But
sure,
if you were giving advice to a player who maybe didn't have that all-pro stat or Hall of Fame status, of how do you get noticed and how do you move up in the ranks here?
I think two things. Number one, you have to figure out a way to do something or bring something that no one else is. You know, that was part of when I got started in 18 was breaking down the tape and making it you know, I guess digestible for the public. No one was really doing that, at least at that time. I know years ago it was Jaws and in many ways. So I think like on a daily basis, I was able to do that. So you have to find something that no one else is capable or at least doing and bring it to the audience to either educate them or entertain them in some capacity on a consistent basis. I think the second thing is you got to every day show up. You know, there's a consistency that people, I think, gravitate towards that they want almost on a regular basis that they can bank on. Like, hey, I'll get something from this person that I'm interested in I don't know if it's daily, but it feels like a daily basis nowadays. I think the third thing, one of the things that someone told me when I got started was you got to say stuff. I never agreed with that, and I still don't.
What does that mean? You got to be like, critical?
You got to be willing to say stuff. Like,
or
say something.
Hot takes?
Yeah. I the way I look at it is like you have to have the courage to be wrong. Like, you got to be convicted with the things that you're going to say, and you got to be okay with being wrong. Because if you're not okay with being wrong, you're never going to strain to be right. People like when people are right, you know? And so I think like the whole, well, just say anything, eventually that becomes a background noise to folks. But when you say things that you're convicted about or that you believe in, and whether it ends up being right or wrong, I think that at least grabs people's attention more on a consistent basis.
What's the one comment or diagnosis, criticism are you still hearing from, you know, when fans come after you? Is there anything that you said that is still hanging there?
I went on a Wentz train for, you know, 2 years, like thinking that Carson Wentz was going to be a long time high level player that I was pretty adamant about. So that's one that like people say consistently. I thought Fields this year would play at an MVP type of level. That didn't happen for Justin. So, but as far as like my job, it's probably the Carson stuff.
Yeah, but you're not alone in those things.
No, and I honestly thought like Carson Wentz was going to be a superstar. I thought that he would be kind of what Josh Allen has become in many ways, just like a game.
But if he didn't have that knee injury.
Yeah, if he didn't have the knee injury, there's obviously a lot of conversation about the, I guess, like the type of leader he was in Philadelphia once he got the contract, or the locker room personality, or the way that he handled his guys. I don't know, you know, there's a lot of reports in regards to that. But if he didn't have the knee injury, I mean, he was playing at a ridiculous level.
But how does money not change, certainly these quarterbacks, when you're making $40-50 million a year, and then you got, you know, the guys who are protecting you, you know, they might be making a couple of $1 million a year. Is there, how much jealousy goes with that, do you think?
There's as much jealousy as the quarterback allows. You know, I think there's two things in that question. One, quarterbacks are just very different. You know, most of us, when we start playing the position, one of the things you hear all the time is you gotta get your teammates to do things for you, you know. And that's the whole, when you're in the huddle, look at them in the eye and the way that you call the play, get them to believe that the play is going to happen. And then, you know, after practice, be the person who's there the latest doing the extra work, and, you know, be the person who's out at practice the earliest and getting in extra work. And so, you know, like when your teammates are seeing that they then believe that you don't believe that you're better than them. I always said this, or being around Peyton just for a little bit and then being around Matthew for a while, those guys had this unique ability to be two people at the same time. Like, they unquestionably knew that they were the guy. Like, when they walked in the room changed. You just felt their presence. They knew that they were the face of the franchise, the billion-dollar CEO, all that. And they also, at the same time, wanted you as the teammate to believe, I want to be just like you. I want to be just one of the guys. And they went out of their way all the time, in practice, out of practice, at lunch, at dinner, on road trips, whatever, to just be one of the guys.
Well, Brady would go out drinking with the offensive linemen early in his career.
Yeah, I think that's a conscious thing. I do. Like, I think eventually it just becomes part of, you know, your personality and who you are. But I do think it's a conscious thing because, you know, a lot of times in the weight room, perfect example, you have these offensive line that are pushing or pulling just a gajillion pounds, and you're over there doing band work or something. You know? It's like, eventually your teammates are going to be like, what are you doing, dude? Or like when your teammates are running sprints and, you know, killing themselves, and you're over there like doing, you know, 80 percenters on the sideline type of thing. So you have to go out of your way to make sure that you, you know, make that conscious effort to be like, no, this is, it takes all of us, you know, and your teammates have to truly, truly believe that. And then with the money thing, it's just how you treat them. You know, it's just, I don't think it's that complicated. If you treat them the right way and you make them very aware of like, no, I know I can't do any of this with you guys. You know,
and buy them good gifts.
The way that you take care of them, you take them out to dinner on road trips. You handle, you know, their families the proper way. Like there's ways that those guys are, you know, all they want is to go kill themselves in the field for you. That's all those guys are wired like that. I just want, they just want one of those, a leader to just pull them along. And so I think if you're conscious of that, it's not as difficult as we make it seem.
Okay, when you were playing, did you ever get in the huddle, call a play that you truly believed was not going to work?
Dan, I played for the 0-16 Lions, dude. most of them.
But you have to have this, you know, this authoritative voice. Did you ever go,
I'll give you a couple stories.
17, I on two, maybe?
I've given you the run out of the end zone story, have I not? With that, the in the moment, so that was at Minnesota. It's, I think, the second quarter, I want to say. It's my second or third drive of my NFL career, you know, where I'm on the road. There are two defensive tackles. Pat Williams and Kevin Williams are just like monster humans. So it's third and I want to say 10 or 12 from like the 4-yard line. Let's say that. Play call comes in. Immediately I go, no, this play call is not going to work. It was a one-man route just to Calvin. Everybody else is in protection. So I call timeout, go to the sideline. I'm like, hey, this play is not going to work. I know Minnesota's going to play cover two. Hey, can I just get the ball out of my hands? Our passing game coordinator, because we had a run game coordinator, a passing game coordinator, was like, no, we're just going to keep the play on. And I'm like, all right, sweet. Play happens. Jared Allen splits the double team. I run out of the back of the end zone. So that was that moment where I knew
so
it wasn't going to work.
So it's the coaching staff's fault, not yours.
It takes all of us.
It takes a village.
Yeah.
Takes a village.
That's one.
That play never stayed with you, though, after it, though. That's what's good about it. Everybody forgot all about it.
I don't get reminded of it consistently. I've had a coach fall asleep on the headset, you know, during the game, like in middle of drive, fall asleep. I've had a coach call a play that was no longer like part of our actual offensive acumen. It was one from his old past. He called the play, and I was like, we don't even have that formation or language. You got to be thinking of something else.
Wait, go back to the coach falling asleep.
Fell asleep.
How does that happen?
He was old.
Well, so am I, but I don't fall asleep on the show.
We were probably down 24-0 or something. He was old. And legit, we were in between. So the other team had ball. Change of possession happens. We get out, TV timeout, call first down. First down happens. Don't remember exactly what happened on the play. Second down comes, crickets. Nothing. Asleep up in the press box.
Damn.
NFL.
Yeah. Welcome to the big time there, Danny.
Can I go back to UConn?
The defense you would want to face between these two. Is
would or would not?
Would.
San Francisco.
You want to face them.
Oh, yeah. I want no part of Kansas City. Kansas City's defense is remarkable. San Francisco's defense isn't the 2019 49ers defense. You know, I think that's been something that has been lost a little bit this week is it's a little bit around the Brock Purdy conversation. Jimmy Garoppolo was good in 19. That defense was spectacular. Yeah. And that defense was one that you couldn't run the ball against because the coverage that they played, they had too many humans down near the ball. You couldn't throw against them. Playing against that defense was like, you know, one of the early defense. When I got into the NFL, I remember playing against the Bucs and the Bears. And they played two coverages. They played cover two and cover three. And you knew exactly what they were in. And as a dummy going into it, you're like, I know exactly what you guys are doing. This is going to be easy. And then the ball gets snapped. You're like, my goodness, you guys move so fast. That was San Francisco in 19.
Okay.
You just couldn't do anything. They suffocated you. They're not nearly as dominant at up front this year. You know, I don't think that they cover on the back end at the speed that they did. Obviously, Fred and Greenlaw are still playing at a wildly high level, but just they're not connected as they were in 19. I think there's holes in their secondary. I think this is a game that Patrick is like 75% completion. I think he can like death by a thousand paper cuts them. Kansas City defense is one that like lines up with the middle finger at you and says, "Here it comes." You know, like we're gonna play physical at the line of scrimmage.
That's not the official formation, though.
Just no, yeah. Yeah. It might be.
Let's go middle finger here. Yeah.
But like they beat you up. All 11 of those guys beat you up. Snead wants to beat you up at the line. They're fast. They're physical. And they make you think. You don't necessarily know what they're going to be in. And if you get to second and obvious passing or third and obvious passing situation against them, good night.
So you like the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are a better football team. I heard Chase kind of referencing this.
But let me say, is San Francisco's offense better than Kansas City's defense?
No.
Okay.
No. San Francisco's offense, if you're going to play, the thing that I've talked about this year with them is they're difficult to play zone against. You don't want to play a ton of zone against San Francisco. You want to man them up just because you can man Deebo up a little bit here and there if you got a good nickel and he's smart, tackles well. Ayuk's a really good route runner, but if you're physical with them at the line, that's advantage just because of timing. You got to be able to cover Kittle. I think Reed can do a consistent job against that. So not that he's not going to lose some of them. And one of the things that San Francisco's offense is, you know, like they constantly check your eyes on defense. Like, hey, we're going to set a formation here and then we're going to shift and then we're going to have people going out there and you're looking at all these different things. And then it's the great illusion. I've called Kyle and Sean McVay that for years. They're the great illusionists. So I think man coverage minimizes that a little bit. And I think that's advantage Kansas City.
The best tight end on Sunday will be?
Kelce, again, that's part of the matchup. You know, okay. I think Kelce's got an advantageous matchup in that situation. One of the things that's been interesting, Kansas City's become so game plan specific in the playoffs. Like, they just have one very kind of finite thing that they've realized, okay, we're going to do this a ton. Against Miami, it was three-level throws. Against Buffalo, it was run at Taron Johnson, the Buffalo nickel. Against Baltimore, it was getting four strong in a formation. So I think they'll have something for, you know, Kelce that they feel that they can run a bunch, and that'll be an advantage for them.
He once made one of his coordinators fall asleep while he was playing quarterback. Did you ever think that
maybe... You spun that around on me?
I did. That maybe the coordinator's like, this is so boring.
Orlovsky again?
Wake me when it's over. No, is he still in there? Yeah. You can see more of Dan with Marcus Spears, Ryan Clark, Mina Kimes, Laura Rutledge today and Friday at 4 Eastern on the Mothership. And you're calling the Super Bowl with Chris Fowler and Lewis Riddick for Australia and New Zealand. And do you have an accent? Do you have an Australian or New Zealand accent?
Yeah, you know what? I tried to do that one time and I got the Matumbo. Like, don't do that, dude, because if you do it wrong and they don't like it.
Yeah, they're going to let you know.
Not the type of people you want to make upset.
And don't do any shrimp on the Barbie thing, okay?
Do I come across as somebody who would?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I won't.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Orlovsky, everybody. Take a break. We're back after this. Joe Montana and Dion will join us in the final hour.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite. You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
Final hour on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. I got to give credit to this audience. It is breezy this morning here in Las Vegas, and they've been out here since around 5:30 this morning. So thank you for coming out to the Fountain Blue Hotel. All right, so busy final hour. Joe Montana just showed up, and we'll talk to Deion Sanders here in a moment. We'll try to sneak in some phone calls as well on this Thursday. It's a meat Friday on a Thursday, so we got a lot of things on the Traeger grill over there. I don't even know if I have everything listed here, but there's quite a few things. We have a Kansas City menu and a San Francisco menu. Yes, Todd, you were going to say something?
No, I was excited about all the stuff that we're going to be eating.
Well, thank you, Todd.
It'll be good stuff.
All right, a poll question for the final hour of the show before we
I tricked you. I lean into the mic sometimes. You think I have something to say, and you call on me, and then I give you nothing. Back to you, Mr.
Thank you, Todd.
And you followed up with that.
Yes.
A couple of Hall of Famers coming up on this
Thank
show.
You, Todd.
I should just stop talking.
Thank you. Yes, Paul.
We do have the coolest green room in Vegas right now. If you went back there, it is star-laden.
Yeah. When you see Joe talking to Deion, that's pretty cool.
That was something.
That's
that
pretty
was
good.
Something to see.
All right.
Yeah,
so what do you have over there, Seton?
Let's see. I'll update you real quick, Dan. We have, if you were an NFL player, would you rather have grass fields or legal grass? Legal grass only getting 14% of the vote. That,
okay.
Is that because it's kind of, you know, it's like 30-something states it's already. The second best quarterback on today's show. I'm just saying Joe Montana is last.
Okay.
So he's either the first best quarterback or the third best quarterback. I can't really tell. But Chase Daniel winning that one.
Okay, so Chase is the second best quarterback?
He is known as the second best quarterback
over Dan Orlovsky.
Show. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's bring in Deion Sanders, the Hall of Famer, won a couple of Super Bowls.
Yes, sir.
Colorado head coach. And joining us on behalf of the Almond Board of California. Looking good.
I thought we were coming to Vegas. This is ridiculous.
You're dressed for Colorado, though.
Because I have a great team that really allows me to understand what the weather's going to be, and we pack it appropriately.
Do you remember the coldest game you ever played in?
Yeah, it was Green Bay. It was not snowing, but it was really cold, and I told them, you might as well leave me at the crib. I'm not going to do anything for you. It's not going to happen today. I think it was like 5 or something like that, and it was freezing.
But should we look at guys who played in certain, you know, weather-related cities? Like, should we look at their careers and say degree of difficulty?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. That has nothing to do with your ability. Nothing whatsoever.
Well, sometimes when it's cold and you're a receiver or quarterback and you're going out there.
No, a dog is a dog. I don't care what the weather is. Dog is a dog and a cat is a cat. I don't care what the weather is.
Well, there are certain dogs that look at you when you say, go outside, do your business. They look back and say, I ain't going out there.
That's not a real dog. That's a dog with cat tendencies. And that's the problem with our country right now. We want dogs, but we're raising cats. Oh, that was for you. That's for all you parents. You want a dog, but you're raising cats.
Okay, as a parent, okay, is there a difference between coaching and being a parent?
Being a parent is coaching. You're coaching through life, and you're not giving them any shortcuts, any passes, and you can only glean from your experiences. You can't glean from anything else as a parent. You can only glean from your experience. So if you're not parenting correctly or coaching correctly, that's based on your experiences, because that's all you can pull from. I don't mix the two. My kids know not to call me dad on the field. I'm coach. And we had a situation where we're getting ready to go into overtime last season. And, you know, you go out for the coin toss and all that again for overtime. And my son, who's the defensive back, Shiloh, he said, Dad, the defense going to go out there first? I said, the defense been playing like hot garbage all game. I'm putting your brother out there and we're going to win this game, okay? And that happened. It happened. We put his brother out there first and we went down and won.
But you wiped the blood off his lip like a dad might do that during the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I would do that with all my kids. Like, I feel like all those kids that play for me and with me are my sons. Like, I love them all. I really, truly do. And I know the intimate details of mostly all of them, that why they came and the family structure and the trials and tribulations of what they've been going through. And I could glean from that during a game. And I could pull on that to motivate them to go to the next level.
If we go back a year, and you said, look, I'm going to be coaching.
That was on this show, right?
Yes, it was.
I was sitting right here, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 4 years ago, you talked about that.
Right.
You just wanted a chance. Now I'm going to be coaching.
Yeah.
And now here you are 4 years later.
I absolutely love it, man. First of all, you're an icon, and I thank you for this platform. This man has, he's interviewed everybody and their mama. You got to give you your roses, man. You keep it straight. You 100. So whenever I see you on my list, I'm like, oh, yeah. You're one of those guys that I look forward to coming to, because you shoot it straight. You keep it 100, man.
Thank
you. And I appreciate you for that.
Thank you. So where you are now from 4 years ago, any surprises from your side of this of how it's gone?
You got to understand, I expect great things. I expect to change the game. Like, why would I be a different coach than I was a player?
Yeah.
Why'd I be a different coach than I am a person? So I take from all those experiences and incorporate them into what I do now. And if God gave it to me, I got to use it. And I use every darn bit of it. And I'm one of the few people who absolutely love what he does and does what he loves. And you could tell.
It feels like you're more of a CEO of Colorado football.
I think most coaches are CEOs.
Okay.
Yeah, you oversee everything. Like, you're a CEO of the show.
Yeah.
But you still have to perform.
Yes.
Yeah, you still got wonderful co-hosts. You got wonderful people on the cameras and everywhere. It's a lot that goes into it, but you still have to do what you do. You play a vital part of it, and I feel the same way with Colorado football.
For a guy who didn't lose, you know, that high that you get from winning, you expect that, but it's the loss. Like, how tough is it to have that where, you know, you lose a game, and you're not used to, you never want to get used to that feeling.
It depends on what you signify a loss. Is it on the scoreboard? Or is it the stadium being packed? Is it the apparel sales going up 800%? Is it the student enrollment that has skyrocketed? Is it everything that we touched, all the sellouts, not only home but and away? Like, what's the loss? And I'm getting to father and coach my sons every day that my son has the camera on me as I speak right now. What's a darn loss? My daughter's playing basketball at the university. My mama's in the crib. My sister's my secretary. Even my dog has on bling bling. What's a loss?
Wait, what kind of dog collar does your dog have?
He's, I tell you what, California Almonds made me, first of all, they made me this, which is unbelievable. So he has one too. So the dog is even stunned. Like, when the dog goes to the dog parks with the other dogs, they recognize who he is.
They just want to make sure you're not in a rough neighborhood where the other dogs are going to rip them off.
There ain't no rough neighborhoods in Colorado and Boulder.
We're talking to Deion Sanders, joining us on behalf of Almonds, the Almond Board of California. How'd that happen?
I love it. First of all, I'm an almonds guy. Let me get this straight, because I don't want to mess this up. I'm here today with California Almonds to declare February the 12th, the day after the big game, because we can't call the game the name. So the big game is National Recovery Day. So I'm kicking my feet up. I'm feeling good. I'm looking good. All you guys are feeling good and looking good. And I absolutely love it. But we got to recover. But the work never stops, man.
I'm a workaholic. Yeah. I love what I do. I just said I do what I love, and I absolutely love it. And I use almonds to keep me going.
How much that coat cost?
I have no idea. Most of everything I wear is free.
Okay, and then your sons buy you your sons buy you a house.
No, we went house hunting.
Okay, they're getting credit for buying you a house.
Yeah, because that's how the crazy the media is. You just go to a house and you say, man, hey, man, I'm glad you guys are thinking about me, want me to be straight. They want me to be straight when they depart. I got a couple sons that are probably going to go, going to go first round in the draft next year. And then my other son is going to be there with me. I'm not letting him go with his brothers. He's going to stay with me.
Okay.
So they want to make sure I'm straight. I'm good. Because all my life, I've made sure they were straight. So now they want to make sure daddy is good when they depart.
So they didn't buy you a house?
No, they haven't bought it. No, they haven't bought it. They can't afford it. But I wouldn't let them do it as a father. I'm supposed to bless them.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to make sure their life is easy. Their life is and they're headed in the right direction. They're not supposed to do that for me, but they want to do that for me, and that's a beautiful thing.
Mission accomplished.
Not yet. It's ongoing, man. Life is ongoing. Yeah, we don't stop.
Yes.
We do not stop. Life continues to evolve, and I love it.
Well, it's like when they turn 18, and then I say your parenting doesn't stop when they leave.
No.
In fact, it gets tougher from in certain situations.
But now the questions are evolving to the next level. Like, Dad, let's talk about property. Dad, let's talk about a home. You know, what does this type of home cost? LLCs, they have everything, man. It's a different day in college football now. It's a different day with these young men just because of where we've migrated to. They're advanced now. I didn't think about none of this stuff when I was a kid their age. Now, these kids have their own companies. They have LLCs. They got it going on, man, and I love it.
Well, I also, what I loved, and I mentioned this to you before, you pulled back the curtain. You said, this is a business here.
Yeah.
Let's not kid anybody. You were a student athlete. Maybe you got some scraps, but now it's like, no, they deserve whatever they can get. They deserve that.
And they're getting it.
Yes.
And they're getting it. Only thing I don't like is them to put the bag before the game. Because the game always has to come first. Chase the game. Like, if you chase greatness, the money's going to come. Don't chase the money, because greatness don't come just because of the money. The money comes because of the greatness.
But there's part of you that's old school, I would think.
Very much so.
But then you have to be new school.
Well, I got kids.
Yeah.
That keeps me in touch with society. That keeps me in touch with who's who and what's what and how these kids think and how they get down. They keep me on point. So a lot of coaches may be detached from reality of what's transpiring in college football and life. I'm not, because I have kids that keeps me on point.
What happens if you come to my house?
Okay.
And then we talk. I want to know if I'm going to play. I want to know, what am I going to get?
Okay.
How do you respond to that?
First of all, you are in charge of if you're going to play. I ain't promising you nothing but opportunity.
But kids do ask that.
Not with me.
No,
not with me. And they don't talk business with me. I don't play those two intangibles. I think the word is spread out over the country. They don't talk. They talk business with somebody else, but not with me. I want to talk football. I want to talk future. I want to talk lifestyle. I want to talk your why. Why do you play this game? Why do you want to be who you want to be? What you doing this for? Is it mama? Is it your dad? Is it your siblings? Is it getting out of the inner city or getting out of that trust fund, or you want to prove to yourself that, because not all these kids come from obscurity, but some of these kids come from a promising situation, but they don't want that tag of just being a child who's wealthy. They want to prove it to themselves and their parents that they could do it on their own. So I talk to all different aspects of kids.
The one finger on your left hand,
mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
Jamming. That gets my hand on receivers. Getting my hands on receivers. I use this hand all the time, and this hand's been dislocated so many darn times. It's ridiculous.
So do you remember a certain play where you did that to your finger?
No, it's been multiple plays. I remember it's not the NFC Championship. Yes, it was. It's a regular season game against the Cowboys that my finger popped out of place, and I had to go in for them to pull it back in because they couldn't get it on the sideline. And I remember once they finally popped it back in place, Ray Rhodes He's called it downstairs and he told me to get on the phone. He said, don't you ever go off that field again in my life. He said, I couldn't call the defense because I was so busy looking at the tunnel, seeing when you was going to break your butt back out.
You're going to call a different defense if you're not in there.
Exactly.
When you get together with Joe Montana,
oh my God,
as you just did.
It's the man.
Like,
Joe is the man, man. Joe is in my era, Joe was him. Joe still is him. I mean, always polite, always who he is, and he just has his aura about him. And I want my son to meet him because my son is a quarterback, and I've put him up on game with the greats. And Joe Montana is certainly, arguably, the greatest ever.
What was it, though, about facing him? Like,
concise, smart, intelligent, not going to really allow you to get your hands on the ball. He had Jerry and John Taylor and Brett Jones and Roger Craig and so on and so on.
Did Joe go to your side of the field?
Joe didn't care who you were. He was cautious with where his ball placement was, but Joe didn't give a darn. That's Joe Montana. He don't give a darn about that. Yeah. But come on, man. That's who Brady was shooting at.
When I found out that you were going to be on the show, I went back and looked at that punt return that you had at Florida State.
Yeah.
Where you basically said, I'm bringing it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would I be different as a coach? That's what I'm talking about. Why would I be different as a coach? Yeah.
So I wonder, did, you know, like the players on the other side, like, were they trying to take you out in a way
always
to hurt you?
The coach is trying to take me out. Now, did that coach against? You think the players are trying to I'm trying to tell you, it's a cycle. It don't stop. The coaches think they're really playing against me right now.
But how are they? So they're using whatever tactics to go against you to say you don't want to go there to play for Dion.
I love it because they have so much confidence in me. They tell kids, well, he's not going to be there. He's going to leave. Well, if he leaves, that means he's advancing. He's going to another level. He's going to another school, which I don't need that to be who I am. I don't go inherit legacies. I build them.
Do you know who some of these coaches are?
Most definitely. Like my kids have that we recruited that signed with us. They have video conversations, tape of coaches bad-mouthing us and talking about us like a dog. They don't understand. That's why I don't let cameras and phones, except if we control it in meetings now. Kids will record everything. They do. So you don't allow phones in your meeting rooms. No way.
A successful season this upcoming season will be what?
Very successful. I'm not one to garnish what the record is going to be. I didn't do it when I played, but we're going to win. And we're going to have several guys going to the NFL. And we'll have another crop after that prepared to go into the NFL.
But help me understand, did you say we're going to be in the college football playoffs this next season?
I think my kid said that. Okay. I don't make those proclamations. We're going to win. We're going to do that. We're going to do that.
But you don't say to your son, come here. Don't be saying that stuff.
No, he's a Sanders.
he can't help himself.
Our natural odor is confidence.
And I think bring back the Jerry curl. I think you should bring back the Jerry.
I wish I could.
Oh, you can.
I wish I had that ability. But if you make enough money, you can make anything happen these days.
You
can buy anything these days, can't you?
The Almond Board of California. It's great to see you. Great to see you. If you want to give a plug again for them.
I'm thankful to my relationship with California Almonds. It's a bag right up under my desk right now, and now they've just created a bag with this handsome guy, a little package with this handsome guy. Come on, bring it, throw it. Come on, baby.
Ooh.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. All right,
this handsome guy's on the, you see that? Yeah. I absolutely love that, man. I absolutely love stuff like that, man. Because I dreamt like that. Like, this is the way I dream. I dream of things like that. Now I dream for my kids with these same type things. I really do.
It's great to see you.
You are also, let me tell you something. You are the best gift giver of all hosts.
Thank you.
No, I'm serious. Those grills, you still doing this with the Traeger grills?
I got my Traeger grills over there right now.
I just told my son about the Traeger grills. It's in my backyard right now. I'm upset with Louisiana hot sauce, though.
I saw. Why?
Yeah, because I tried to partner with them, and it was just ridiculous. But let me tell you something. Louisiana hot sauce is like like validated in every inner city in America. And I just wanted to take them to another level.
Okay. All right.
So either I'm gonna get with them or get with their competitors. One in the order.
Your Traeger was your NIL though.
Let me tell you something, man. Traeger is unbelievable. Thank you for blessing you, but you blessed us.
I did. I appreciate you. Thank you, man.
God bless you.
That's Deion Sanders.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Final half hour on this Thursday. Great audience here. They stayed throughout. See a lot of number 16 jerseys out there in the audience, and Joe Montana set to join us. He is normally Joe Cool. Today he's Joe Cold, and joining us on four-time. Wait, that was okay. Bloop, bloop, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. A tough audience, Todd.
It is a tough audience.
Yes.
They were just doing that because you're a damn fan.
Thank you. Oh, do you think so?
I think so. No, I'll give you a bloop.
All right, thank you, Todd. Joe Montana joining us, the four-time Super Bowl champ, joining us on behalf of Pfizer to talk about the importance of getting vaccinated against pneumonia. And Joe joins us on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hall of Famer, Joe Cold. Hi, bud.
All right. Hey,
I have one thing to say. Huh? Would they kick you out of the inside? Huh? What you did?
I'm not afraid of the elements, are you?
Well, if you were a really good host, you'd give me your jacket.
All right, I'll give you. All right.
I'm kidding, I'm kidding. Sit down, I'm kidding, I'm good.
No, you can't on and talk about not getting pneumonia and then
I know,
get pneumonia.
But sit down here, I'm going to get it. No, I'm good, honestly.
Okay, because I'll give you the shirt off my back.
My mind if I shake a little bit, I'll be okay.
The coldest game you ever played in, I'm wondering if that was the game against Houston when you were at Notre Dame.
By far.
But you got sick?
Yeah, I got sick.
At halftime?
I had my body temperature dropped and I couldn't stop shaking. Sort of like you would be out here in a little bit. But yeah, and they wouldn't let me come back out until after they got my temperature back up, and not sure I wanted to go back out there the way the game was going.
Yeah, but I wonder, like, were you risking something a little bit larger than, I mean, you're going out there. Did you even?
Back then, you don't even think about it. Right?
You didn't ask any questions about, hey, could I die?
No, not at all. I was afraid I was going to die the way I was playing. playing is so bad out there that I really want to go back out. And it was so funny. I was just talking to people. I remembered for two of the worst games I played in my life, the catch and the Cotton Bowl.
And you won both of those games.
We won both of them, and you throw a touchdown pass at the end. People forget everything.
You're right. I don't even remember your stats in the game.
They were terrible. You can look them up.
Paulie, look up your stats in the game against the Cowboys.
I have him 20 for 20 with 6 touchdowns, Dan. I don't know what Joe's talking about.
Yeah,
the older you get, the better you were. Like, people don't do any research on that.
I know.
Like, I don't even know what you're... Like, we're so stat-conscious now.
Yeah.
I don't know what you did against the Bengals in those Super Bowls.
Me either.
You don't know your numbers?
No. I know, especially in the first game, I was sitting in the training room, taking a little break because I don't usually eat a lot before the games, and I was eating a double cheeseburger, and my dad walked in and he was all happy, and it's going, what's the matter? I go, nah, I don't know, I just didn't feel like I played that well. He goes, you know what, what's wrong with you? He goes, you just won the Super Bowl and you were the MVP. Why don't you just eat that cheeseburger and go out there and have some fun and go enjoy yourself.
But did you have a hard time having fun with your success?
Bill had such high expectations of you that you kind of put them on yourself.
And so you carried him that way. So if you didn't play up to what you thought his standard was, or, and it became your standard, I don't know, it was just, I was happy to win.
But were you competing against yourself?
Yeah, most likely.
In your career?
Oh, all the time. All the time.
Because it's like, all right, you won a Super Bowl, win another one.
Yeah. No, but it just in every day, practice. From practice on, I did. And that's where he's got me started that way. Normally, you go to practice, it's practice, and not a big deal what you do, how, as long as you make good decisions. But no, he wanted it perfect every day. Throwing the ball didn't matter.
Yeah.
I want you to try to complete 100% every day.
Paulie, do you have the stats? And also, we have a blanket for Joe, too.
Yeah, I have.
No.
We're not letting Joe Montana be cold.
I know. It may look soft, but yeah. I understand it. You know? Like, yeah, we got a blanket for Joe.
Man.
Yeah, once again. This?
There we go. There he is.
This.
No. Okay. You're all right.
Hey.
No matter what they say, you're all right.
Exactly. Paulie, do you have Joe's stats in that first Super Bowl?
I got the NFC title game you're talking about against Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you have that?
I have those. 22 for 35, 286, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. You were sacked 3 times, but you had the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah. But 3 interceptions, that's not good.
It must be a misprint.
were they all your fault?
Usually.
Oh, they were.
No, I don't know. I don't remember. I just know I had a bunch there. And the Cotton Bowl is probably even worse than that. Yeah, I had fumbles and everything else.
Yeah, but that weather was horrible there.
Oh, yeah. That was probably the worst weather I played in, I think.
And didn't Chris Haynes catch the game-winning touchdown?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. You couldn't score if you weren't with the wind. You couldn't score. There were 69 points scored in the game. 14 were scored against the wind. One was a punt
returned
for a touchdown. That was, other than that, you couldn't do anything.
What else, Paulie?
I got Joe Montana in the Cotton Bowl. You missed 20 of your first 27 pass attempts.
See?
But again, the last one was complete. I hate saying this.
It was ugly.
Not at the end, though.
So
I was terrible. How many fumbles did I have?
I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
I think we've come to the conclusion, Joe Montana, overrated. Just kidding. Relax out there. Got Niner fans want a piece of me. If you gave advice to Brock Purdy on that first Super Bowl,
yeah,
what would you say to him?
Don't do anything different than you've been doing. I mean, I think I like what he's been doing. He has found a way to understand what that offense is about, and the people around him can only make him better. You know, his job is to find a way to get the ball to those guys. I mean, that's typically how Bill's offense worked when we had Jerry and John Taylor. I mean, those guys could. John Taylor goes twice over 90 plus in the Ram game. I threw 2 7-yard passes on a slant. But in the books,
yeah,
I got 190 yards of passing and 2 touchdowns.
Yes. But nobody ever said to you, as they're doing to Brock Purdy, well, you got all those weapons.
Or no, but there are a lot of other teams where people have all those weapons too. But,
yeah,
but he's making the best of it. And he's making great decisions. He's not, you know, making big turnovers. I love the way he moves in the pocket and escapes, and still he's looking down the field. He can run if he has to run, but he's not a runner. But he's just found a way to make that offense go, and in the understanding of what it takes, and he's reading well, and hey, get the ball. You got McCaffrey and Debo.
Yeah,
Debo's a beast.
Yeah,
I swear. Oh my God.
Yeah,
but I love what he's doing. I haven't said don't do anything any different.
But did you ever, like, all else fails, you just look for Jerry Rice when you were quarterbacking, or for Dwight Clark? Or?
Well, when you get in trouble, those guys come looking for you. You know, that was one of the best things. Like, when you're out scrambling around, those guys, they want the ball, they're going to come find you. They come back to try to help you. But it's sad because JT, John Taylor, would have been Jerry Rice. He's a freak. He's one of those we just didn't use him enough.
But when you throw the touchdown pass against the Bengals, everybody thinks it's not going to John Taylor, I'm guessing. The Bengals secondary?
Yeah. Well, Bill noticed from a certain formation and a motion across it that kicked him into two deep safeties. And so the play we were running was just a little halfback curl, but we added a little up route by John to split the two safeties, and it was made just for that defense. And so everybody thought, yeah, when Jerry came across that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Jerry upset that he wasn't going to be the guy you were throwing it to?
I don't think so. I think he was happy we won.
Okay. Okay.
He had enough that game, I think. I think he was MVP.
Yeah, he was.
So, yeah, and but it's sad because JT, that's the only pass he caught the whole game. Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Somebody told me that a couple weeks ago. I had idea. Yeah.
What's the play call on that?
20 halfback curl X up.
Okay. The touchdown pass to Dwight Clark, that play call was?
Sprint right option.
And just throw it up and hope that Dwight gets it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had never thrown to Dwight on that play for 3 years. We ran that play. And because he's supposed to set a pick, and we scored on that play earlier in the game.
Yeah.
And this time we used a little different formation, and Freddie Solomon falls down for the frame, and he's covered when he stands up. And I think Dwight didn't realize it, and all of a sudden now I'm going, oh, no. Come on, Dwight, hurry up.
Well, you got D.D. Lewis and Ed Too Tall Jones, I think.
Yeah.
But don't you pump fake?
Yeah, I thought I was going to try to throw it initially when he first started to separate from Everson, but Everson seemed like it was too close. So then he fell down, and then I think he slipped, and then let Dwight free, then I let it go.
I felt bad for Everson Walls.
I know. He's a great guy.
Because Sports Illustrated had the cover where Dwight's catching it.
Yeah.
Everson is like looking up like that. Probably had great coverage up until...
Up until he slipped, yeah.
And did you know Dwight could jump that high?
No, he's white.
He's very white, Clark. Yeah. Yeah, very white, Clark. Yeah. Yeah, I always thought, and I know you would never admit it, but I thought you were throwing it away before I saw the catch.
Well, I would have thrown it away long before then. If I was going to throw it away,
okay.
Why would I let myself get knocked down? Take a hit for no reason, I would have thrown it away.
When you run into Cowboy fans,
yes, they all
how's
say
it go?
I tell them, hey, it doesn't really matter because you got the ball back and you still couldn't score. So the real thing is the real thing was that Eric Wright saved the game on his tackle. He's a horse collar tackle. I think it was Johnson, right? And otherwise he scores and we lose. But if it wasn't for everybody makes the catch the big game, but Eric's tackle saved that game.
Do we know where that football is from the catch? Because Dwight spikes it.
Yeah, I have no idea. There's an argument over. There's two of them hanging around. That there's an argument over which one is which.
Well, I think they did the same thing with Franco Harris with the immaculate reception.
Oh, yeah, bet.
I mean,
probably.
Nowadays, these players know how valuable that stuff is. You guys back then, you're like, spike it. We don't care. And then it's worth millions of dollars there. Did you kept all your Super Bowl jerseys?
Yes.
They got them framed?
No, they were just sitting around the house. Yeah. No, they're just packed away.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
But are you? You're not into that.
I'm not a big collector. I mean, we had stuff and trophies and things around in the weight room, but not, you know, just. It's good to look at, but.
But it becomes your identity.
Yeah.
But, like, do you want it to still be your identity and have those things on display when people come over? Hey, can I see the Super Bowl rings? I mean, that goes along with the territory.
I kept the rings, but
but you don't have them on display.
No. And actually, every now and then I get a call from someone saying, hey, someone's selling your Super Bowl ring. I go, okay, let me go look, and I'll have to open the safe.
Yeah,
they're still there.
Make sure Jennifer's not selling this or one of your kids is selling it.
Okay. I think the first time they've been out in a long time, Jennifer wore on a necklace all four of them to the championship game. I go, oh, my gosh. Man, don't get too far away.
No. Tell me what you're doing with Pfizer here.
Yeah, I've been with Pfizer for a while now, and we're partnering up together to talk about the risk of a serious lung disease called pneumococcal pneumonia and how vaccination can help. when you get like, hate to say this, when you get like me on over 65, you become a higher at risk. And also you become more at risk even younger when you have something like asthma, that an added condition like that. And then the best thing I can say is if you want to learn more about this and how you can help prevent it, go to knowpneumonia.com, and that's knowpneumonia.com. And there's a lot of great information on there.
Hopefully,
but it's been fun.
Yeah, hopefully. You've been vaccinated.
I've been vaccinated, yes,
so
sir.
We don't have to worry about you today with...
No.
With
well, thanks to this.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate you were going to give me your...
I would give the shirt off my back for you. Absolutely. Absolutely. When you look at Mahomes, mm-hmm. can you teach that?
No, that's a freak. That's another one. He's just fun to watch. I mean, every arm angle you can imagine, left-handed, whatever it seems he wants
you
to
do. You never did any of that?
I think I threw left-handed once, underhanded once or twice, but he seems to do this on an every game basis. You know, he pulls something out of his hat. It's like speed, right? You can't teach speed. and that's, he just has a unique ability to do that. And great arm, and accurate.
Yeah, but today's offenses, you playing in today's offenses, you're probably having a little fun like he does.
Yeah, I mean, I won't say it's easier, but it's a little bit easier.
Steve Young says, man, I would love to be playing now. He goes, I would kill it if I was playing now. He said, they can't touch you. He goes, and he completed like 70% of his passes one season, so... Yeah. I'm guessing today's defense is what they can. And, I mean, you got beat up.
Well, yeah, if you give people like Jerry and John when back then, you know, free access off the ball most of the time, and our offense would be made for this kind of the way it is today, not knowing that you're not. I always say they should go back to hitting the quarterback. Just don't compress them in the ground, because that's where all the acts, that's where everybody gets hurt, right? Your guys tackling you 150 pounds more than you.
Yeah.
Well, not now. Those guys are big, so the guys that are hitting them. But and then they compress you in the ground, and that's how I got hurt. And that was
against the, was that Jim Burt?
No, it was Leonard Marshall.
Oh, that's when you're rolling right, and he came and got you from behind?
Yeah, and I was so happy because I just dodged LT, and I thought, that was everything was fine.
Woo, no LT to worry about.
Oh, then the train hit me.
great to see you. Yeah. Great to see you as always.
My pleasure.
Hope
thank
you're
you
doing
for
well.
Having me. Always great.
Yeah, it was great seeing you in Dublin as well there.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. Well, yeah. That was a good day.
You look like you could still play a little bit.
Oh, if I could run from here to that rock right there, I'd surely would try.
Yeah. How's the arm, though?
I have too many metal pieces. I got a new shoulder, a new knee, 5-level fusion.
Oh, my God.
So I got enough.
But was it worth it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Game's stupid fun. So, I wish everybody could go out there on one Sunday, win or lose, just to feel the excitement of the game, the ups and downs. And then you would never hear anybody say, why is he still trying to play? Because once you're done, pretty much you're done. There's no game.
So you understood why Brady was still wanting.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you can't walk away.
Yeah.
If you can still walk, you don't want to walk away.
No, That's why I'm kind of excited to see when Aaron comes back.
Yeah.
See how he's doing the same type of thing, and he's still has that ability to play, and so looking forward to see that.
What do you have, Paulie?
I just want to let you know, Seat and I are going to absolutely fight over that blanket when Joe leaves the set. One of us is taking that home.
Okay.
I will go.
Okay.
I will go.
That's going to be on eBay in about 20 minutes from now, I think. He's Joe Montana, Hall of Famer. Thank you, Joe. We'll take a break. We'll close up shop after this in the Dan Patrick Show.
Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.